Corinthians tonight. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians tonight. Tonight we're going to take a break from our study in the book of Proverbs. This morning was one of the more tougher messages, I would say, that I've preached as far as difficulty for me personally. And tonight I want to encourage the people of God on the subject of godly sorrow. I want you to get a glimpse of why we must not only trod the streets that are smooth, but also those that are bumpy when we come into God's house. Those that would cause some discomfort, conviction we would call it. God gave me this message, this direction at 2:45 this afternoon. So I don't know how long it'll be, but it's what God gave me, so that's what I'm up here with. So the amount of this message that I have is what I have, but God said to go with it, so I'm going to go with it. But when you preach a tough message, and I saw various faces this morning of conviction, some of brokenness, some of sorrow. And I want you to know from the bottom of my heart that I get no joy out of making people of God sorrowful, except it be that it's the vehicle that brings them to repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:9-10. 2 Corinthians 7:9-10. Paul is speaking here, and I'll go from verse 8 through 10. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this evening, we want to thank you for this time we have in your house. I ask you, Lord, to give me the words that you'd have me to say tonight, that it be an encouragement tonight to your people. You know where we all are, and I ask you, Lord, to meet us where we all are at. And we'll thank you and praise you in advance for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is saying here, I am not rejoicing in your being sorry. As you know, with the pride that we have, to come to a place of being sorry, we must first become broken. Paul saying, I'm not glad about that. I'm not glad about your sorrow. I get no joy out of that. And to think about it, what kind of person, what kind of human being would get joy out of the sorrow of another? Paul is saying, I get no joy out of your sorrow, but what I do get joy out of is when you repent of what has made you sorry. Repentance is a change of mind. Repentance is changing your viewpoint from seeing things your way to seeing them God's way. And Paul took joy in their repentance, but not in their grief. Not in the sorrow in which their sin has brought them. Not in the sorrow in which being called out on has brought them, but that it brought them to repentance. That is also my goal and intent with messages that are difficult, to challenge you, but to love you. Not to take joy in your sorrow, but to take joy in your repentance. In the latter part of the verse, Paul says, "For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us and nothing." Repentance came because they sorrowed after a godly manner. In some ways, I felt like a parent today. After your child is disciplined, you go to them, you give them a hug, you tell them that you love them. That the discipline was not to break them, but to draw them back in. And I love you, and I take no joy and seeing faces that are sorrowful, that are broken and in tears because of choices in this life, I take no joy in that. But I go to God humbly and I ask Him to translate that sorrow into repentance. And repentance, like Paul was, is what I take joy in. That's what makes me happy. Now, I won't love you any less if you walk out those doors and ignore the messages. I'll still love you. I'll still be here for you. I'll still pick you up when you fall. It's what God does for me. God tells me stuff 1,000 times a day, and you know what? When I fall, He picks me back up. And that's what we as spiritual leaders have to do for those that God has entrusted to our care. When they fall, pick them back up. Don't matter if you already told them once. Pick them back up. Don't matter if you told them twice, three times, five times, 10 times. Pick them back up. I'll still maintain the prayer and the hope that one day, by the powerful hand of God, we will get through. And God done that for me. Paul says that ye might receive damage by us and nothing. Paul, as you know, if you've read his epistles, Paul went about his preaching in a way where sin was called out. He did not condone sin. Where sin was, he called it out. He went before the church, and he'd send a letter to the church, and he'd say, you know what, I heard there's fornication among you. He'd just call it right out. There's fornication in the ranks. He'd call it out. He'd say, there's division in the ranks. He'd just call it out. I've seen it, and he called it out. But it did not damage the people to whom he was preaching to whom he was writing to. He did not kick them while they were down. Some preachers act like they haven't been harsh, if they haven't been harsh or mean in their sermon, that they haven't preached. And if they're mean, then somehow they're more godly, or somehow they take more of a stand. And people have been damaged at the hands of preachers in their messages and in counseling through harshness, through name calling, through being mean and belittling, meaning making someone feel small. We mentioned this at some point in RU about the time. Has there been a time where, no, we were talking about this a couple of Sunday nights ago about wisdom, about how sometimes you've thought it out. Somebody to go to for wisdom. You went to them for wisdom, and they just made you feel like the scum of the earth for your problem. Now, as I've said before, if people who have a problem within the church can't come to you, their brothers and sisters in Christ, if they can't come to the pastor, then who do they go to? All they got left is the world. You don't want to dare send them there. But I want you to know that God will not only hold me, but all of his preachers responsible for the handling of his flock. There better not be one bruise from meanness, one scar from meanness, mean-spirited comments and gestures. I want to play a part in when you stand before God to be presented to him as the beautiful bride that you are supposed to be. Without spot, without blemish. And we do this by the preaching of the word of God. By dealing with the hard stuff. By loving people through their trials, through their struggles, and through their shortcomings. Not belittling them because they're struggling. Not by taking joy in their sorrow that comes from wrong choices. You should hear the things that people say sometimes. Christian people, when you drive past a homeless person on the corner. You should hear what some of them say. Just amazes me. What, are we better? No, we're in a better situation, but in our humanity, we're no better. But having joy in sorrow that leads to repentance. Paul did not want to damage the bride of Christ, but he wanted to enhance them by the leading of the Holy Spirit and working in their lives and investing in them to present them blameless before God. And me, your preacher, given to you by God, wants to help you do that in love. Paul says in verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Think about hands. Think about working hands. These hands produce something. And godly sorrow produces repentance. It worketh repentance. To salvation, not to be repented of. You can't get saved without repentance, but once you get saved, you can't repent of it and get unsaved. There's been somebody, there was somebody at work one time, I'd invited them, and they came to RU on a Friday night in Medina. The guy had trusted Christ as a Savior on that Friday night. That next week was a horrible week. Got to work maybe twice, his car broke down several different days, just had a horrible week. And he said, whatever I got on that Friday night, they can have it back. And I was like, well, brother, that ain't how it works. You got it. You got it. There ain't no losing it now, brother. I said, so now we're just going to teach you how to walk in it. You know, because you can't change your mind. You can't trust Christ as your personal Savior and then repent of accepting Him as your personal Savior and then give Him back. Don't happen that way. Paul continues with this, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. You have godly sorrow, you have worldly sorrow. Here's the difference. Godly sorrow is sorrow towards God and cares about the offenses to His holiness and the impact of the sin upon others. Worldly sorrow is completely selfish and cares about the personal cost of sin. So godly sorrow is directed in sincerity towards God. And worldly sorrow is essentially you got caught and it's cost you something. Maybe a ticket, maybe a court date, maybe a friend's decided to unfriend you. It is a sorrow that is only pointed towards you and the effects that the sin has had on you. As where your sorrow should be only pointed towards God, and then how your sin will affect those around you. So the sorrow of the world leads to hell itself. Sorrow of the world displeases God because it's not directed to Him. It will be only your repentance towards Him that will save you and change your life. Repentance towards God. I've heard of serial killers that did not use this term, but essentially they repented of their sin to the families of their victims. Worldly sorrow. One, they got caught. Two, it cost them a whole lot. And they've not acknowledged that first and foremost, they trespassed against God. Yeah, they trespassed against others, but more than that, they trespassed against God. One lie, that's all it takes. One lie, you trespassed against God. That's it. It's all it takes to send you to hell, just one. Repentance is towards God, not the person you lied to. Repentance is towards God. So in terms of what we were discussing this morning about changes in attendance requirements for staff being 100% for all teachers, godly sorrow will work repentance directed towards God and the effects of our decisions on others. Worldly sorrow would be, it will cost me something if I don't comply, so it's in my best interest to just comply. It's directed inward, as where godly sorrow is directed upward, first to God and then towards others. For example, in this case, your class, and this is the whole reason for tough messages sometimes, godly sorrow, you would want God's people to become sorrowful in a godly manner of shortcoming. And it will work out the repentance in their life. And the pain is worth your repentance. I never quite understood. I've been in church just about my whole life until I was away from God, as you know, for, about 5 years, and then the 4 years that I was in the Marines. But I never understood the role of my pastor until I was one. I never understood the role of preaching until I was one. This morning's message, I was battling it for probably 3 days. Lying awake until after 1 a.m. this morning, battling over it. Battling it this morning. As I told y'all, I went to God probably 10 times last night in my mind. But he kept sending me back to it. Just like he did tonight. I had Proverbs ready. And at 2:45, the Lord says, I want you to go out with this. But God said to preach it. Travailing over a message. Battling over the attendance requirements and changing them. But God said to. The battle that preachers go through for preaching the Word of God is spiritually immense. And I don't say this for sympathy. I'm just letting you know that the devil has his crosshairs on me. The flesh of God's people, my flesh, has their crosshairs on me. All trying to get in the way by waging war against the preacher to keep him from assuming the position of the pulpit with God's message. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, Friday evening. And then every time you preach, you're going to be at war. Preaching's tiring. You're in essence, in every service, begging and pleading with believers to re-nail their flesh to the cross and leave it there. Trying to defeat the power of evil spirits that have come into the church through the spirit of anger, through the spirit of bitterness, through the spirit of wrath, through the spirit of resentment. Even in here, there is a warfare going on. There's a war going on in here. For those who are not saved, you better believe the devil's fighting for you to walk out them doors the same way you came in. For those that God wants to see growth in, and that's all of us, you better believe the devil's trying to influence to try and get you to leave out in the same spiritual condition as you came in. We could go on and on. It is a war. And the pastor's the point man for you. I'm reminded of when I was in Iraq, we were in a time of war. The one thing the enemy knew that we needed was our supply trucks. These trucks would carry our supplies, food, a big water tank. We called them a buffalo, I think. A water tank for drinking water. The enemy, to get to our strength, sought to place IEDs along this supply route. And one time, they were successful. They blew up our supply truck, and food was scarce for a few days. Now, the battle didn't stop just because we didn't have food. The battle raged on. Convoys still went out. Patrols still went out. We were hungry, still went out. But we're malnourished. And the devil, in the same way, wants to lay traps throughout your spiritual supply route. If he can get to me, if he can get to your Sunday school teachers, if he can get me caught up in mess, if he can fight me and battle me, he can get to your nutrition and influence. It can cause weaknesses to come your way. And you can fall. But when I see repentance, when I see godly sorrow and the work that it produces in your life, and I know that I'm pleasing God, it's all worth it. It all becomes worth it. And I trust the ministry is worth it for you. You come in here to your position of service. You come in on Wednesday night and you ain't always had a good day at work. I've told y'all before, there was times, I've only been in the pastorate now for close to 2 years. I can remember very clearly not wanting to go to church on Wednesday night. I can remember it. I can remember not wanting to go. And then once I got there, I was glad I did. And then once I left, I was glad I did. And it helped me. It helped me spiritually. It helped me get through. Yeah, I was upset. And by the way, that's when you need to come. People get in a bad spot and they quit church. That's when you need to be here. When you're mad, come on. Do your best to check it at the door, but that's when you need to be here. So you can leave better than you came. Oftentimes, things happen. Things happen in our life, and we just push God to the side. We're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of just putting our head down and trying to plow through and make our own way. We see a theme here. Paul's theme here in 2 Corinthians 7, 8 through 10. And notice also in verse 8. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. You know what? Conviction comes for a season. Trials come for a season. Sorrow over sin comes for a season. But during that season, when it's at our doorstep, we need to take care of it, or it's going to be a revolving season. It's going to keep coming back. It's going to keep showing up to your doorstep. Yes, it's seasonal, but it can keep coming back. Many of us have experienced that. We've experienced that in our life. I know I did when I was coming back to God from the Marine Corps. If you don't take care of stuff, it's going to keep coming back. It's going to keep popping up. You think about that old arcade game, the whack-a-mole. Another mole is going to keep coming up. And that's how sin is in our life. It's going to keep popping up. We got to take care of it. Every time it pops up, we got to take care of it. Or it's going to keep coming up. The conviction that comes from these things as they keep popping up is just going to keep coming. And you know what? A year from now, you'll forget about this morning's message. I'll probably forget about it too. I've preached a lot of other difficult messages. It'll be for a season. It'll be for a season. Verse 9, now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrow to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you once again, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for the time that we've had in it. I thank you, Lord, for this day that you've blessed us with. It's been a privilege. It's been an honor to be in your house, to sing praises to you, to worship you, to hear something from your word. And we thank you for sending your spirit down and moving amongst us today. In Jesus' name, amen.